when we walk this road together, I can't travel it alone. I need someone beside me to help me find my way back home.
Hello, this is Dan Prinzing, Executive Director of the WASMA Center for Human Rights in Boise with Adam Thompson.
Hey there.
Welcome to Voices of Idaho. Today we're talking with Adrian Evans, Executive Director of United Vision for Idaho. Well, I gotta be upfront here and transparent because Adrian was also co-creator of The Spiral of Injustice. And so the role that you have at UVI, mm-hmm. and this time, how do you see the spiral as in framing a discussion of what is happening now?
Well, the way that we use the spiral is really having a deeper conversation about systemic discrimination. How does this show up in the ways that we all participate in, but maybe we haven't taken the time to really think about how that manifests? And having some of those deeper conversations where we all reflect on our own behavior. It's also really important that we understand that we are all contexts of our history. So this isn't about shaming or blaming, but really getting to the root cause of how is it that we ended up in the spaces that we are today.
So where are we today?
It's not good. Mm-hmm. It's not good. And it's deeply troubling. I was sharing that, you know, I was just in Twin Falls meeting with folks. We have Idaho ranks second highest in the number of hate groups, white nationalist groups in the country. And we see the escalation of white supremacist actions and language throughout our communities. And it is deeply, deeply dividing us as a state and as a country.
So we always talk in terms that words matter. And certainly now rhetoric has been hateful.
Yeah.
As you just said, it's also very divisive. What were you hearing in Twin?
Well, I think what I would say is that words do matter. Language is critical. Language is what allows us to, it helps us contextualize the world. It shows us who we are in the world, and it forms our opinions and our beliefs about others. And that is deeply seated in American culture, in Idaho, and in all of us, that we have come to see people's differences as deficits and not advantages and opportunities for us to learn and grow and discover each other. They are wedges between us. But the language and the words that we use have become very hateful. And certainly the rhetoric that we hear from this president and a Congress that refuses to say anything mm-hmm. really tells us who matters and who doesn't, who's valued and who isn't.
Do you think there's a national image of who or what Idaho is?
Yeah, and I think it's actually, it's not just Idaho, it's rural America.
Okay.
And it's being propped up by this president. You turn on any television, whether they be liberal pundits or Fox News, and what do you hear about rural America? You hear Trump's base, red, rural, racist. What you don't hear is people who were hurting, people who have been hurting for a very, very long time, who, when someone came and said, I'm going to break it up and change this whole system, found a glimmer of hope. And what has happened since is that they've been now cast as enemy, and enemy from each other in their own communities, and people are really hurting, and they're really craving connection with one another. We've had so many people say, I haven't had anybody ask me what I think in 30 years.
So when we look at the spiral, recognizing that that first level is language, and it puts the import on those words, do you see a devolution in the spiral? Is it moving from that language level and devolving to the next level or other levels?
Yeah, I think what we need to really be clear that language is the point that we all intersect, right? It frames our understanding of the world. But it is also the way that we dehumanize and devalue so that when acts like occurred in El Paso happen, do we value those lives as much? Mm-hmm. When children are caged at the border, would we have the same reaction if they were our children?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. We've been talking in a number of the voices in our episodes that we have to give everyone a face and a voice. When we look at issues, you referenced El Paso. When we talk only of the number of dead, mm-hmm. we have just eliminated their voice and their face.
Yeah.
Their number, not a person. And so certainly a part of our mission, even in this podcast, is to recognize humanity. Mm-hmm. That there are faces. These are people. We're talking about real lives.
Yeah.
And as you reference, and people are hurting.
Yeah, and I think that's another way that politically we have been maligned, too. We do a lot of work talking about issues and values. We don't say a Democratic issue or a Republican issue, a liberal issue or a conservative one. We say, what issues and values do you have? What would make your life better? And when we can get out of the frame of how we have been cast, we can have those deep, fundamental conversations about, wow, we really have a lot more in common than I thought we would. We all have a deep hurt that is coming often from an economic perspective, yet the labels and the language keep us from seeing each other and keep us from organizing and coming into community with one another.
Okay, then let's get rid of, if the label has been that we're red, rural, and racist, who is Idaho for you?
I see people who, they want health care. They love their families. They care for their elders. They believe in community. They believe in a promise of what America was supposed to be. When I ask people, and it's not framed in a political context, what do you think about the idea that we all start out at the same place and we make of our lives what we're able? Overwhelmingly, people say, isn't that who we were supposed to be? And so I think when we get past that, we see each other's humanity. We see each other as people, but as people who are on a shared journey and encountering many of the same things.
This is Paisley Goings, The Path We Took. Sitting in the dark, my life on the line, thousands intertwine, as we shall all leave our mark in this venture to freedom. Undiscovered underground path, for we couldn't take the wrath, taken from family to come, working hard, but never enough, and through every scruff we shall not discard. Thanks to ancestors who fought, I now live freely, not scared of those who own me, but they never thought such harm could be done. Family before, labor with a cow. Still family we remain now, united as one. The path they had to blaze stands strong in infamy. For it was not a good time in history, keeping my fire ablaze.
Well, Adrian, you've just referenced, we're on a shared journey. And in that journey, thank goodness we encountered the upstanders. Those who are willing to speak out and step up when they witness or experience injustice. Who's the upstander in your life?
The people in this community, mm-hmm. The people across this nation that are doing the really hard work. I think it's a hard time because people do want to stand up, and then at the same time they struggle to know how. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the answer is far more simple than we imagine. We're doing deep canvassing, and what that means is that we're going door to door, not on an issue, not for a campaign, but around the state to really listen to people, asking, what is it that you care about? What hurts? What matters to you? And mapping the state by issue motivators, but also bringing people into community based on their shared values.
Is this how we create connection?
I think it is. I mean, I think the fallacy is that you don't beat back white nationalism or white supremacy in the streets. You go to the root of it, and it is that sense of belonging and connection that people crave. And we will either be the ones to fill that space, or it will continue to be occupied by those who are filled with hate.
Can we reclaim a narrative?
Absolutely, and I think we not just reclaim, create. You know, we all believe a lot of really wonderful things, but we're not always so good at telling our stories, right? And there are so many amazing stories. There are amazing stories about how people are caring for each other, you know, throughout this country. But when we only see red rural racist or hear red rural racist, what we aren't hearing is hurting, loving, community, hardworking, dedicated to a bigger promise, and believing in bold ideas. We've always been about bold ideas. And so what is the option? If you're always given one, you can either be this or you can be this. It doesn't give us much room to shift and to transform.
I like that. We've always been about bold ideas. You know, we often say that about the Idaho Anne Frank Human Rights Memorial, that in every quote, in every word etched in the stone, it is about those who are willing to alter the course of history. The bold ideas, the bold actions to counter a wrong. Is there a particular quote that speaks to you in the memorial?
Yeah, and if I might just really quickly say, I think one of the things I always say is that we won't all do the same things, mm-hmm. but as long as we all do something, mm-hmm. that's how we create real justice. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, this is an impossible task, Dan, because there are so many amazing quotes in the memorial, but one that you have often used is by Frederick Douglass. No man can put a chain about the ankle of his fellow man, without at last finding the other end fastened around his own neck.
Yeah. We are connected.
Our lives are intrinsically linked, and our futures are bound, and we have to believe that we will be the ones to save us. No one's going to do that for us, but I have great faith in my work talking to regular people that we have all of the things that we need to embark on that journey together.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Adrian Evans. It's why in Voices of Idaho we continue to echo, not in our town, not in our state, Idaho is too great for hate.
With you right here beside me, we'll find our home with peace again.
It was one of those moments in time where you had to make this sudden choice. I could either be authentic and real and let this prospective employer know that I had a same-sex partner, or I could deny my spouse's love in that moment and my partnership with that person in that moment. And then go through the rest of my working career in that particular location and have to hold on to that lie.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Wasmus Center podcast. That clip you just heard was from Idaho Representative John McCrosty, and that episode will be coming out on November 10th, so check it out then. The Voices of Idaho is created by Dan Prenzing and produced and edited by me, Adam Thompson. See you in 2 weeks. Bye!